What if you could measure your employer brand as a single number? What if you could track it over time? We do that. It's called the Employer Brand Index. Continuously measuring what's positive and negative about you as an employer from a candidate perspective is the key. The Employer Brand Index helps you measure your employer brand and validates your perceptions or draw up a few surprises, both good and bad. The Employer Brand Index works best when done over time to see how things are changing. Some companies use it as a baseline before they launch their EVP. Others add in some talent competitors to see how they stack up. Stay on top of your employer brand. Go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more.
Hey, sans Vason, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by friends here at Link Humans. Fine purveyors of data-driven employer brand insights. And today I am reporting for duty. Yes, we are switching gears and focusing on social impact and philanthropy, both very much part of your employer brand and EVP, I would say. So we're talking to a tech company that supports organizations working across sectors and taking real-time actions for good. Let's start the show.
Hey, Olivia, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's fantastic to be here today.
My pleasure. So who are you and what do you do?
Let's see. Who am I? I really appreciate the way that you've opened this question up. So there's a couple of ways that I think about my identity in terms of what I do. One is that I think of myself as a blended professional, and that means that I have kind of toured different sectors, particularly in my 20s, moving from kind of business and the public sector to international development, to working with foundations and nonprofits, to startups and so on, and social enterprise. And so kind of those different experiences across continents and industries and sectors have really informed how I do impact work today. And the second piece of who I am is that I think of myself as an impact professional, and that I'm choosing to do that work within the container of a company, container of business. And so essentially what those two factors mean is that my day job is running global social impact for a company called PagerDuty. And I have been in this space, at this confluence of business and social impact, for about 15 years, trying to really both utilize business and the very omnipresent system of capitalism to drive societal change and improve outcomes for the collective, but also to use that to drive business growth as well. And I really do see social impact as a viable business strategy as well as a viable social strategy.
Great. Okay, let's double click on that in a minute. But first of all, what is PagerDuty?
Sure. So PagerDuty, we are a digital operations management platform, and we specialize in incident response for IT departments. But our work and a lot of the ways that I interact with the product is through our nonprofits and through our community partners and grantees. And so if you think about our work more holistically, you know, our platform is the best way to manage urgent, mission-critical orchestration or response. It is essential to keeping services on, and most of these are digital services, but many of our nonprofit customers and partners use PagerDuty to orchestrate response across teams in really interesting and sometimes often non-digital ways.
Nice. Okay. All right. So let's talk about social impact and philanthropy. First of all, what's included in this and perhaps what is not included?
Great question. And it's, you know, I think these words at sometimes they have such meaning and precision, and at other times they really don't, right? Because I think, as societies, culturally, and as individuals and within companies, we use various terminology to mean sometimes the same thing and sometimes very different things. So, you know, I think of social impact broadly as what is the impact that you are having on the world around you? And this is communities, this is environment, this is the global community, this is your customer base. It's really inclusive of different stakeholders. And so, you know, perhaps that could be likened to stakeholder capitalism. I'm know, I haven't really kind of mapped them and tested my assertions there, but I think of social impact as this general container of how do you drive societal benefit through, in this context, through business operations and business activities. And philanthropy is a subset of our social impact work. So our social impact work spans employee experience, which for us is employee giving and volunteering. It covers philanthropy, which is our integrated and strategic grant making through our foundation. It covers how we engage our product to realize social good and could accelerate outcomes of mission-driven organizations. Just if our, you know, if our product is used by many of the Fortune 500 companies, why shouldn't smaller mission-driven organizations have access to the same technology to accelerate their work when minutes matter? So our social impact then encompasses our product. It also encompasses our the voice, how we're leveraging PagerDuty's platform to inform, to bring visibility and to influence in key issues. And then a newer area for us, the one where we're really getting up to speed, and it's very exciting for me as well, is around ESG or environmental, social, and governance. And we can double click on that further too, but that's kind of in sum is this kind of five pillar platform of our, what we consider social impact at PagerDuty.
Yeah. Okay. That's really interesting because a lot of the work that we do is around measuring employer brand. Yeah. We call it the Link Humans Index. And one of our attributes was called CSR, but we noticed that ESG is the term that's being used more nowadays. So CSR, ESG, would you say that they are interchangeable, and are they, is social impact and philanthropy part of these, or how does it all fit together?
Yeah, so it is such a kind of a mind puzzle. And I know we were joking before we started that I imagine that when you ask this question, you get like 100 different flavors of response, right? But you know, for me, you know, social impact is this general container of, and you know, and it also encompasses kind of the environmental elements in how we activate this at PagerDuty and how I think about that. But social impact is this broad container. CSR is what I think about more of like traditional. So I think about that as kind of an earlier phase, and that the evolution of the field is around social impact. Some might say social innovation. It's not just corporate social responsibility, which is more around a mitigation and ensuring that you have, you know, it's CSR and your responsibility to me feels very much around mitigation and ensuring that you are covering against risks, right? That you're meeting, you're addressing potential risks to the business rather than starting from this inherent desire to utilize the business, the core business assets, like your product, your services, your people, your brand, your visibility, your voice, your platform to drive business outcomes. So if I think of, you know, Ben and Jerry's, that's such a great example of a company that I think of it as really focus on social impact, not corporate social responsibility, right? They're not doing this to satisfy investors. They're not doing this so that they don't get fined for environmental or labor practices. They have a very holistically fair trade and impact-driven supply chain. So not only do they source locally when they can, they have fair trade organic ingredients and they're supporting organic farming. They're hiring previously incarcerated or people with various who've come from various trauma backgrounds to either make some of the ingredients in their supply chain or to staff their stores. They use their brand platform to advocate on legislation in the United States, like really getting out there on legislative issues. So to me, that is an incredible example of impact business using their business, their supply chain, their brand, their voice, their customer trust to drive change and progress in specific issues. So that's how I think about social impact or innovation. And then ESG is, you know, from my sense, kind of an investor framework. It's the environmental, social, and the governance. And it is this kind of construct where it's almost like an audit because there are more prescriptive outcomes across each of those three areas that, you know, investors will assess and measure companies for. So I think that that's a really, it's a useful indicator. It's useful framework, and the prescriptive nature of it is a nice counterbalance to kind of the more expansive social impact work that we can drive. And so I think about them as kind of interlocking parts of our overall impact strategy.
Okay, that's great. All right. So my takeaway there is that CSR and ESG is very much a corporate initiative. Social impact perhaps more, comes more from the grassroots level.
Yeah, I think it's like social impact can be more expansive, and it's around what is the real intent? And ESG is a framework that can help you deliver that intent, but it is more prescriptive framework. Social impact at times can feel unstructured because you're trying to find what are the opportunities across the business to drive change.
Right. Okay. Right. So thank you for that. Let's move on from definitions and get into some of the actions there. So tell us about organization responsibility and opportunity to give employees meaningful ways to give to make a difference. I know there are lots of different ways of doing this. Well, what are some of the top ones?
You know, I think there's so many. Okay, let's see what we've implemented at PagerDuty. And we've been really creating the employee experience for around 2 years now. I think our program, I would say, is about 3 years old in sum. And so we think about how do we activate employees as change makers? How do we empower them to take action? And that can be an action that we're driving as a company, but it can also be helping them to create time to take action for causes they're already invested in or to become introduced to new organizations or causes. So we do this in a couple of different ways. Number one, we have as a company committed what is called the Pledge 1%. And so we've pledged 1% as a company of our equity, 1% of employee volunteer time, and 1% of our product. And for the employee volunteer time, that translates to 20 hours of paid volunteer time off annually that employees can use to volunteer with the organization or independently. They can also use that time to vote or to engage in nonpartisan get out the vote work. So by providing employees paid volunteer time off, that's where we start. We also, when new hires become, they go through a new hire orientation, they're coming on to PagerDuty, new employees, we offer them within their first month an opportunity to get involved as a volunteer. And this is It's great, of course, because it helps to introduce them to some of our core partners and this ethos and the culture of volunteering. But it's also a really simple way for them to connect with Dutonians, which is what we call our PagerDuty employees across different teams. And so it's a natural kind of orientation mechanism. We also host monthly volunteer events. We work very closely with our employee resource groups. And so our team will partner with each employee resource group to bring specific events to life around campaigns or events that are important to those groups and those populations. We run cross-company kind of all-hand volunteering events at time, which we call volunteer response. And that is a nod to PagerDuty's incident response. And I think, you know, that's something that's we think a lot about in terms of our social impact branding within the company. You know, PagerDuty is about incident response, real-time action. And so how do we take these elements, take this ethos, take that language, and use that to talk about the work that we're doing around volunteering for communities? So we have the volunteer response, which is the name of our volunteer program. We have community responders, which is our global ambassador group that help to champion volunteering locally, local community and nonprofit partnerships, and giving. And then our employees can also earn volunteer rewards, which is giving credit when they volunteer. So we're trying to incite them and introduce new organizations, new causes, ways to volunteer, whether it's with an employee resource group, with their team, versus with a company-wide. We have volunteering integrated into our annual company kickoff, which is a company-wide meeting each year, whether that's in person or, of course, now virtual. So and in the past year, our team obviously has really restructured and reworked our programs to be virtual and online, and thinking through kind of what are the needs of employees and how do we do that in a way that is additive versus, you know, an additional burden, particularly considering the Zoom fatigue, which is real and something we all face.
Okay, so that's really interesting. So then your people have loads of options there. I'd like to understand what's the take up been on these options, and what do your employees have any favorite methods that they're picking more than the others?
So it's really terrific. In the past year, and so in 2020, we saw 93% of our employees participate in either a volunteer activity or in giving back financially through PagerDuty's campaigns that we've run. So that's a really strong level. And of course, you know, we all felt that globally it was a momentous year of coming together as at some community level, whether that was global or local, to help out. And so we are really proud of that participation rate. And I think it's a tough question to answer, because when I first got into this work, prior to working with PagerDuty, I rebuilt the Yahoo for Good program. And that PagerDuty is about a 1,000 person workforce. When I joined Yahoo, we were 11,500. And I had come into that from doing really the deep social entrepreneurship work, thinking about like systems change and how do you get to the crux of like the core of the issue in social impact. And so when I went to Yahoo, I thought, all right, we're not going to do any of that, like making sandwiches in the cafeteria to give away, or we're not going to just be donating computers or filling backpacks to give to school children. We're really going to do work that addresses core challenges that people face. And it was such a, I like telling the story because it was such kind of this wide-eyed perspective of like me coming in with one set of assumptions that were well-intentioned, coming into this very global company and realizing that one, that approach is incredibly hard to scale. It's incredibly resource intensive. It's expensive. But two, not everyone wants, if I'm doing accounting during my day, or if I'm doing marketing during my day, I may not necessarily want to provide my volunteerism as pro bono, as skills based. I might really want to go out and read to kids or build a house or clean something up. And so it became clear that we had to really create volunteerism across the spectrum. And that's what we try to do at PagerDuty. We always have, through everything that is company driven, we have equity as a key criteria, because that is a non-negotiable for us. How is the work that we're doing creating more access to opportunity and equity within the communities? So that is a criteria, but then employees can self-organize or they can join the events that we do. And something that we're doing more this year is also focusing around our nonprofit customers. So ensuring that we're creating volunteering opportunities that are drive meaningful value to those nonprofit customers. So sometimes that is getting on and helping students answer student questions about their career growth through a great site called Career Village, which is a great kind of micro volunteer opportunity. But sometimes it's engaging our customer success and our solutions consultants teams, which are more technical teams, in helping one of our customers to expand their use of PagerDuty or to kind of realize more sophistication with the product to kind of create more efficiencies in their work.
That's great. And you just got me thinking that some of our clients, they ask all their vendors to connect up with their social impact initiatives. And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But I think it's a good way to create a community of stakeholders. And speaking of that, how do you go about establishing a community-minded corporate culture? Has it always been there, or is it something that you've built?
You know, I think it has to start at the top from somewhere, right? You know, and then that is, I think, often tried and true. And our CEO, Jennifer Tejada, was really, I think, progressive in getting PagerDuty to take, I mentioned earlier, the 1% pledge, but she worked with our corporate board of directors to take the pledge and commit those resources, including an equity commitment up front before PagerDuty, when we were still a pre-IPO company. And so that commitment has really, it's given the runway for this program, and it has put the expectation, it has put some capital aside, it has created that volunteer, the 20-hour volunteer time off policy, it has created an expectation that we're going to utilize our product to do good. It's not just volunteer hours, it's not just corporate philanthropy, but you know, for technology in particular, that is the way that we really have a potential for more tipping point change, right? It's not, we're never going to be the largest funder as a company. We're never going to have the largest employee base, right? When companies can utilize their core services, their core technology, what makes them a leader in their domain, when they can utilize that for social impact, that is where you see the lift and the real results. And so there's always this expectation that this is what part of what PagerDuty is. We are creating an enduring company, you know, if you want to come work for PagerDuty, it's going to be a little bit of a different place. It's going to be what we like to say is a fast ride because we're high growth, but there is a inherent sense of responsibility and expectation to do good in addition to, you know, performing your core roles at PagerDuty. So I think it comes from the top, and then it's about how do you continue to nurture it? It's not enough for the CEO to make a commitment. It has to be living and breathing across the business. One of the features that we have instituted this year, and we're a couple of months into it, is a new monthly Changemaker series where we highlight a different employee across different regions. We're a global company across different levels. And we have this person talk about how they contribute to social impact. This could be volunteering. It could be through leading pro bono programs for our grantees to help them get onboarded with PagerDuty. It could be something that they're doing outside that they're really committed to. And so they tell their stories, and that, you know, seeing that modeled with employees is really a powerful tool. We implemented last year quarterly leadership awards for social impact that were recognizing leaders who are kind of going above and beyond. And this may be those employees who are seeing an opportunity to make impact in their core day job. So for example, someone from the renewals team, which is, you know, kind of a basic customer renewals, but they're saying, oh, with our nonprofits, like we see an opportunity to renew them more efficiently, or we see some of these nonprofits that are not on our impact pricing. And when they renew, we need to transition them over. And you know, these aren't moonshot ideas, but it's how do you integrate more impact, more opportunities to drive support and resources for community, for nonprofit partners and grantees in your core business function. That's when I would consider social impact successfully integrated at a company. It's not when I'm doing my job well necessarily and I'm hitting all my KPIs. That's not enough. It really needs to be taken up by everyone in the business across different roles when they see the role that they can play in driving impact. And if they need support, they understand how to go out and resource that support, you know, from my team or from another team, or we can create kind of a new program or initiative to make that happen.
Yeah, great. Okay, so you mentioned lots of different ways of driving social impact within a business. Is there a way to go about to open source social impact best practices? So anywhere that our listeners could look up and get some ideas.
I love that question because that takes me back to my roots. And you know, the way that I got into this was through a blog when blogging was more common. And it was in early 2008, and I started a site called Cause Capitalism to start cataloging my own thinking, my own research around this area of business and social impact, because I was so captivated by it. And I started interviewing people and then open sourcing that by publishing those interviews online. And, you know, it kept this up for many years, really writing about best practices and ideas to implement social impact. And so that's always been kind of core to how I want to just shift the conversation and demonstrate possibility to different people and organizations, and then also to highlight the work of changemakers who are doing incredible work, leaders in this space. So we take that as one of our ethos at PagerDuty.org, which is our social impact program. And we have created several open source toolkits, one around voter engagement, one around Day for Change, which was a kind of racial justice movement that we, as a company, kicked off last year. It was to commemorate Juneteenth and provide support and solidarity and action, real action to the Black community. So those are two toolkits that we open sourced last year. And we think about how do we continue to bring our learnings online and make them visible as we go. So it is one of our core team principles.
Fantastic. Okay. And are there any pitfalls that our listeners should avoid? So any mistakes that you made that they don't necessarily have to do again?
I think one of them is to be focused. It's easy to see all the opportunity and all the need and want to do it simultaneously. So I think really picking one or two focus areas to start, whether that is leveraging your product or your employee base or, you know, your voice as, you know, the brand and the voice, but getting really clear about what is the impact and staying focused there and then expanding from there. You know, I think also it is imperative to integrate this within the business. And, you know, this work is by nature, it has to be cross company. It has to be integrated. It cannot be a standalone or else it will not succeed. And it will also be less fun and more challenging. So really trying to establish those early bright spots as people who innately get this and look at the connection points within the business, establish what are those data points that we can be using to measure success and then to start to increasingly tell the story of business viability for this work. I mean, that is a big one. And pitfalls, I mean, I think coming in with a lot of assumptions, right? Yeah, I shared one of my pitfall stories at Yahoo where I thought that I had figured out how I want to do employee volunteering. And, you know, like I learned a lot about that. I think another pitfall that I'm always challenging myself is I like to get things really, sometimes I push myself to have more of a bias towards action instead of having things be perfect. I mean, we need to get the money flowing out there, try new programs, learn from them, iterate. And I think it's just kind of adopting a pretty common cycle of minimal viable product these days and applying that to the social impact work that we do as well.
Love it. Okay, right. So Olivia, you've done this, this role working in this field at a few companies now, and I think you mentioned about 15 years. What is it that makes this this role of yours so special?
It has been a fantastic opportunity, and it continues to be to really create the strategy and these programs from the start. So, and that was my role coming in. You know, we had the 1% commitment. And then it was built at what makes sense. How do you do it? How do you do this in a way that is global? How do we do this in a way that is responsive to ever-changing and really momentous social global needs? It has been a big year of response and adaptation and listening for our team and our program. And, you know, we're still in that process and it can be rewarding and challenging and all of that. So I'm really grateful that I get to use all these levers of product and employee experience in our fund and the platform of PagerDuty to try to create real change. And I still think we're very early in our journey and don't profess to have any of the answers, but we have a heck of a lot of enthusiasm for the work that we're doing.
Watch this space. Okay, fantastic. So final question, where can our listeners connect with yourself and where can they learn more about PagerDuty?
Great. So PagerDuty.com and PagerDuty.org that will take you to our company site. And then the .org is a little bit about our programs. On Twitter, we're at PagerDuty and I am at OKL on Twitter. Those are some good places to start. And would love to connect with any of your listeners. Happy to continue the conversation.
Wow, a three-letter Twitter handle. That's amazing.
Yes, circa 2008.
Yeah, I got in there early. All right, thank you so much for your time today, Olivia.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, there you go, folks. Be sure to reach out, or should I say Paige, Olivia, and thank you ever so much for sharing her insights on these very important topics. And you may want to consider subscribing to this podcast. You can do so at employerbrandingpodcast.com, as well as on Apple, Spotify, Google, and all the usual places. And did you know that ESG, formerly CSR, is one of the 16 attributes that make up the Link Humans Employer Brand Index? So, if you'd like to understand how talent feels about your business in terms of social impact and more, feel free to check out employerbrandindex.co or reach out to me and we can set up a demo for you. If you can't measure it, how could you possibly improve it? That's the thought I want to leave you with. Thank you very much for tuning in and I look forward to catching up next week. Hey!
What did the stoplight say to the car?
No idea.
Don't look, I'm changing.